Claudia Bergman, and this is Amanda Mickle with John Lester from Second Life.
Hello.
Hello. Actually, do you formally introduce yourself as being of Linden Labs or Second Life?
Well, Linden Lab is our company, and our Second Life is the virtual world that we've created. So, you know, most people...
So what's your identity?
Well, our company is Linden Lab, but the virtual world that we've created is called Second Life.
So I guess in this conversation about what the future of public media is, what role do you think a place like Second Life could play?
Well, you know, I'm hearing a lot of discussion about participatory media, how to get people involved in, you know, things beyond just the consumption of media. And you know, worlds like Second Life are global. They're physically, they look like the physical world. They're three-dimensional. They're immersive. And they're persistent. So, you know, for instance, with the conference that's going on today, where they took it off the screen, but they had, you know, there's a virtual version going on in world, and there are people from all around the world who are in a virtual version of this Ames courtroom, who are watching a live video feed, you know, video and audio live from the whole presentation. And so they also have access to the question tool, so they can actually submit questions that pop up on the screen. So I think...
What are they talking about?
Well, what do people talk about at conferences? I mean, it's the same kind of thing. You listen to what people are talking about, what the presenters are presenting. And then you talk about it with people that you meet after, you know, between sessions. So that kind of mixing, you know, getting people to rub elbows with each other and share experiences and share ideas based on what the conference's agenda is, I think is, you know, the power of a virtual world like Second Life. And particularly, you know, with new media, there's, you know, you can the ability to bring video into an environment like this, as well as audio. You can also do audio live. You could have, you know, live musicians performing in Second Life. There's so many possibilities for it.
So when I was outside talking to people about the conference, we would first say to each other, well, what did you think about this panel? Or what was your response to this? But after 5 minutes of conversation, we'd usually find ourselves discussing different themes. Like one of the ones that came up pretty frequently was the question about the digital divide. And so I'm wondering, are there emerging themes in the Second Life conversations today?
Well, you know, actually, I haven't been following the in-world conversations. Just because, you know, it's hard for me to focus on two things at the same time, and I want to give my full attention to the physical conference here. But what I'm going to do, and I expect this will happen, is follow up after the conference is over and spend some time in Berkman Island. And you know, what I'd like to see happen is having some follow up meetings, you know, so that afterwards, even, you know, people who are in this physical conference, when they all go home, they could, you know, meet maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks in Second Life, in the same virtual environment that everyone was meeting in today. So, you know, a way to continue the conversation. Because I think that's the biggest thing, that the biggest failing of real-world conferences is you come in one space, and like, oh, this is great, you're talking to all these people, you get a bunch of business cards in your hand, and then you go home.
So do you think we should keep up the Beyond Broadcast website and discussion tools?
I think so. I mean, and I think, you know, keep. I mean, the website is fantastic, but the wiki is amazing. And, you know, having the tags, the Flickr tags for images, you know, popping up tagged with Beyond Broadcast on the main page is fantastic. I think that the success of a conference is really having it, you know, having continuing discussions come out of it.
So one of the themes, and I mentioned this before, has been the digital divide. And I'm wondering, from given your work in Second Life, obviously there's not necessarily an extra obstacle to joining Second Life, but you need to register and be able to use it on your computer. What are your thoughts on the digital divide and Second Life?
Well, the main issue technically with Second Life is it requires a pretty powerful computer with a pretty decent graphics card. You know, something like Second Life could not have existed a few years ago, just because computing power was just not there. You know, if you have a relatively new computer, by relatively new I mean like about, you know, no more than 2 years old, you should be able to run Second Life just fine. If you have a laptop that's more than 2 years old. You probably will have problems because the video cards in the past on laptops weren't very standardized. So there's the main technical challenge of running Second Life is the fact that you need a machine that has some kick to it. And there's no real way around it, because when you're simulating a three-dimensional immersive environment that's being streamed to you live, there's going to be a technical barrier that you really can't get over. But at the same time, though, the way computing hardware is becoming cheaper and cheaper, essentially it's going to become a non-issue. It's in the next year or so. And we're even seeing there's a company that's actually come out with a physics processing unit. So it's a card that goes in your computer that crunches the physics of objects that are happening in the three-dimensional worlds. So now you have your graphics processing unit, you have your physics processing unit, you have gigabytes and gigabytes of memory, and I don't think it'll be an issue. And also, you need a high bandwidth connection, at least broadband, to connect to things like Second Life. But what we're seeing is just there's a digital divide. There's always a divide in terms of any kind of technology. I mean, there's a telephone divide. There's an automobile divide.
Would you say that? I mean, one of the other questions or themes that has come up that has been an issue of multiculturalism, or whether or not the people who are in this room are representative of people who use the internet, and the question of who really uses the internet. And I think one of the interesting things about Second Life is that people can choose how they represent themselves. And I know that you've worked with people who have chosen to use Second Life because they can create a community anonymously and discuss issues that are very close to them without going public and still have really wonderful interactions with each other. Maybe you'd want to talk a little bit about that.
Well,
it might be the case that you need a powerful computer to get into Second Life, the fact that you can choose how to represent yourself is a very powerful thing for people. And so some of the things that might be difficult online might not be obstacles once you get into Second Life.
Well, I mean, that you touched on a number of points, one of them being your visual identity, how you are physically portrayed to other people. We have limited ability to play around with that in the physical world, but an environment like Second Life gives you the ability to start from scratch. I mean, I was talking with a woman reporter last night who was saying, oh yeah, I went into Second Life and my avatar is an apple. Just a giant apple. And I said, why did you do that? And she said, I don't know, it just felt right. I just wanted to be an apple. And it gives people that freedom of expression. And so at the same time, there are people who are dealing with physical world disabilities. I've worked with people who are dealing with cerebral palsy, who are in wheelchairs, who are, unable to walk. And in Second Life, they not only can walk, they can fly. They can skydive. They can be a bird in Second Life. They can walk on a beach, a virtual beach in Second Life. So, while we think of these virtual environments giving people the ability to do things that they can't do in the physical world, it's not just doing sort of fantastical things. It's also, for many people, just doing something like walking or being able to communicate with somebody without the stigma attached to some of the physical disabilities, which is very unfortunate. It's very freeing.
Well, it looks like we're out of time, so thank you very much.
Sure, sure.
That's another edition of Audio Berkman.